Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 517, Ghosts of Illyria.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And we're here for another week of Strange New Worlds.
Yes, this week it's the Ghosts of Illyria.
It sure is.
A chilling tale of the grave.
What's with that welcome to the world of tomorrow shit there?
It's too early for my Crypt Keeper voice.
Oh, of course.
Wait, hang on. It's a terrifying tale of the haunted space.
I feel like you're awake enough for the voice, but you really need your brain firing on all cylinders to get those puns going.
Yeah, that's the thing. Hey, look out for more bones.
Look out for more bones. Nailed it. You know, completely unrelated to Star Trek, EC Comics is back and they're doing those titles again, which is great.
That rules.
They have different names, but they're exactly the same stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have a Crypt Keeper-like character introducing them.
Yeah.
They're a lot of fun.
Well, I saw Creepshow's back as a comic.
That I am unfamiliar with. Like, I think I saw the movie or whatever. But
yeah. There was the Creepshow movie, and then they brought up, it was a TV show, too, for a while. Mm-hmm. And they had, like, I'm the creep. I'm not, like, the Crypt Keeper at all. I'm a different guy.
Well, you've read those 50s comics. There was a guy like that in a lot of those. Like, the Crypt Keeper was the one that got a good puppet on a TV show. So, like, we know who he is now. But there's a lot of those guys.
Well, see, here's the thing. There was also the animated Crypt Keeper show, Tales from the Crypt Keeper.
Mm-hmm.
And that brought in the Vault Keeper and the Old Witch.
Ah, the Vault Keeper.
Yeah. You don't want to go in a crypt? Fine. We got a nice vault you can hang out in.
I don't want to go there either.
We can bury you next to Scrooge McDuck's gold.
Why is this gold buried?
It's buried right next to the pirate treasure.
Marked with an O.
Uh-huh.
That's a callback.
Oh, no,
kids.
Poop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we recorded the other one yesterday, so.
Well, yeah, it's the holidays. We're getting stuff. We're getting stuff done so Maggie can go off and see her family, which I guess is a thing people like. I don't know.
I guess. I get to see my nephews. I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Are they named Huey, Dewey, and Louie?
I mean, no. I guess they should be.
All right.
They'd all have to be, like, identical and, like, finish each other's sandwiches.
Yeah, that's true.
Being the junior woodchucks.
I did not care for this particular Strange New Worlds episode. Like last week, it had a lot of things that I liked, but it didn't come together for me. But it seems like you liked it a bit more than me, so I don't know.
I think I did like it a bit more than you. I have more of a tolerance for ghosts.
It wasn't even the... Well, we'll get into it. First, you should read the summary, as is our custom.
Oh, yes, right. That thing that we've done a million times.
Yes, please.
All right, so number one and an away mission are beamed back to the Enterprise just before a massive storm hits the abandoned Illyrian colony they'd been exploring. Luckily, they've returned to the Enterprise just in time. Less luckily, Pike and Spock are still down on the planet rummaging through the library, which, look, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Number one takes command, and the crew begins trying to find a way to get the missing cast back. We're going to need them for the rest of the series, says Una. Spock is especially very popular. If things weren't bad enough, Ortega's encounters an away team rando, desperately trying to get into one of the ship's light globes. This appears to be a bad case of moth's disease, says Dr. Mbenga. Next we'll come hanging around annoying people at barbecue, after the sun goes down, eating sweaters, and escaping from the wallets of broke people. And since we're a society without money, that affects all of us. Soon the entire landing party is infected, except Una, who tried to cuddle up to her IKEA lamp, briefly lit up like the Human Torch, and then was fine. See, it turns out Una is an Illyrian, not from the colony, from space. Well, for a different part of space. She's been genetically modified as part of her culture, but she can't tell anyone that because she'd get kicked out of Starfleet, because even in an ideal future utopia, we need somebody to be assholes to, or we just don't feel human. Meanwhile, Moss disease is spread across the ship, making people cuddle up to lights all over, and in one case, causing Hemner to attempt to beam a piece of the planet's liquid hot core onto the ship. Luckily, Number One is there to disarm him. "Please, Hemner, don't hurt him," she yells, obviously. With no other options, Number One tells Mbenga and Chapel about her genetic issues, hoping to synthesize a cure from her blood, which doesn't work unless she reinfects herself. Luckily, that happens when La'an, who you really cannot take anywhere, attempts to blow up the ship, reasoning that it will be extremely bright for a very short amount of time. Then she gets real racist, which is exactly what we needed from this already likable character. Anyway, both Number One and La'an get blasted with radiation, which fixes everything Marvel Comics style. The disease is cured before anyone's sweater is eaten, and Pike and Spock are safely beamed aboard after a brief experience with some dead Illyrians who evolved into lightning or whatever. Una comes out to Pike, who takes the don't-worry-about-it approach, which I find personally terrifying, but risk has never been my business.
Who the fuck is La'an?
La'an. Khan Jr.
Thank
Connie.
You. Jeez. That's
when we started this, I'm like, I should make an effort to learn her real name.
Yeah.
So I did.
No, I know it, but I refuse to acknowledge it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Also, that feels like your joke. Like,
that's just because I patted myself on the back for it a couple weeks ago.
It's true.
I'm sure you probably made the same one when you watched it.
What's her name? Khan Jr.?
Yeah, or Connie.
Yeah, as she liked to be called.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this one was like, it felt old school derogatory, not even old school original series, but like more sort of Voyager or like episodes of Next Gen I didn't love.
Sure.
Like, you know, a possession episode, but also,
yeah,
I had some real problems with the pacing. Like the ship was saved and we revealed that Una was an Illyrian and we still had 15 minutes to go. Of this 45-minute episode, I'm like, what is happening here?
It does feel like it sags a lot in the middle, and the episode's already pretty fucking short. Like, I looked at the runtime, I'm like, oh, wow, okay.
It's all epilogue, because what happens is, and I get why you didn't talk about this in your summary, because it doesn't really pertain to the plot, but it will pertain to the overall season plot. Mm-hmm. We find out that Dr. Mbenga is keeping his daughter, who is dying of some rare form of leukemia, inside the transporter buffer, which I hate to keep being this guy, but Scotty kind of invented that 50 years from now, and it's weird that someone already noticed how to do it, but whatever.
See, I was thinking about this. Scotty figured out how to, like, indefinitely keep someone in there. He mentions he has to take her out every now and then.
That's true. He says he can keep her in there indefinitely, but you're right. He does have to rematerialize her from time to time.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I got to take her and walk her around the backyard.
Mm-hmm. He's basically hiding her in there until he can find a cure. And what happens is, as they're trying to fix the ship, that causes a serious problem. And
yeah,
so after Pike forgives or agrees to sort of sweep Una's thing under the rug, she goes and confronts Mbenga, finds out about his thing, and basically pays it forward and says, okay, I'm going to keep your secret too. We're going to give you a dedicated power grid so this doesn't happen again, which is good. It just made for a weirdly lopsided episode for me.
It does, yeah. There's stuff in here I like quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The weird-ass disease spreading on the ship is good. Like, I like Una being sort of the focal point character for this one.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, it just, like, there's not enough episode here.
Well, let's get into your good thing, because that is kind of the thing we've been talking about already.
Let's see here. Yeah, there's something about Pike, Chapel, and Mbenga all being, like, yeah, it Starfleet says being genetically altered is illegal, but that's stupid. That makes me really happy. Like, it's not even a thought. They just jump in, just like, it's like, yeah, well, like, that's a stupid law. Fuck it. You know, like, if you can help, hop on. I don't care where you came from.
There's a moment where they're trying to puzzle this out in sickbay, and she just, like, looks around. Everyone's unconscious except Chapel and Mbenga. And she's like, okay, listen, this is my deal. And Chapel doesn't bat an eye. Like, Mbenga's taken aback for a minute. He's like, I don't know. But Chapel's immediately like, yeah, so let's see if you can help. And then it just takes Mbenga 30 seconds, and then he's come around too. He's like, yeah, you know what? Yeah. The whole thing that I'm here for is do no harm. And so this is stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. The chapel is like, Una has a moment where she goes to chapel. You're looking at me like you're about to quote regulations. And she's like, no, I'm just trying to figure out if this will actually work or not. And yeah. I love that.
It's good. But this kind of ties to my bad thing. Like, I like everyone's attitude. I absolutely do. And including Pike, who says, yeah, you're under my protection. I will like feel the, you know, the yeah. fire when it comes. Like it, that's my job as your captain. I believe in you, and you know, it's great. You love to see that from your captain dad.
Well, and I've noticed, like, because the first episode he also did like the I don't give a fuck about the Prime Directive. We're doing what's right here.
Yeah,
and I like that part of his knowing that he's going to end up in the chair is that, like, he's prepared, like, he's basically just like, what's the worst they could possibly do to me? Like, drum me out of Starfleet? Fine. Mm-hmm. You know? Like,
yeah.
He's, like, he doesn't, like, he talks about that fear of death thing, but, like, it really sort of makes him not worry about his career, I guess?
Well, and that's what I had pointed out in the first episode, was, like, this is a fundamental way that he's different from Kirk, because on the surface, he takes crazy risks, he ignores the rules, it feels like, oh, I've seen this, it's Kirk. But it comes from such a different place. Like you say, he knows exactly which consequences won't touch him because he already knows how he ends up. So that gives him a weird sort of freedom to do a lot of whatever he wants.
Yeah.
He still can't risk his guys because he doesn't know anything about them, but he can risk himself all day long.
Yeah. It's like, they're going to take my badge away. What'll I do?
I guess be promoted to Commodore and tour a cadet facility, because I know that's what's going to happen. So
yeah, that's I don't know how, but that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Or it might have been Admiral. I don't remember, but he gets promoted. I know that.
Admiral.
But my bad thing, I don't like this backstory for number one. The whole I'm hiding a genetic, like, because we did this with Bashir already. We've had this exact plot in Star Trek, and we've dealt with all the repercussions of it. And I don't have the same take you do. It didn't occur to me till I saw you talking about this, and it's a good take. Like, you're you seeing this as bigotry. What I see it as is, like, you're in sports and you're taking performance enhancing drugs. Like, you're not allowed to do that.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I didn't think of it in terms of we are bigoted against this kind of people, because this is a this is going to get into a dicey area. This actually, well, it's a choice. It's not like, you know, you being assigned male at birth and saying is not a choice. That's how you are.
True.
And me being bisexual is not a choice. That's how I am. But like, when you choose to change your genes in this science fiction setting, that's not the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, using that as a metaphor for I was born different doesn't really work for me, because it's a thing that they chose to do.
See, that's true, but also I feel like if it's your body, you should be able to, say, do whatever genetic manipulation you want to do to it.
And that didn't occur to me, and you're absolutely right about that. And I think the angle that didn't really occur to me comes up in your bad thing, because these people, this is their society. So let's get into this.
This is their culture. So my bad thing, this whole thing also drills down to how dumb and embarrassing this law actually is. Like, this is quite literally a human problem, and Starfleet is just enforcing it on the rest of the galaxy. Vulcans didn't make Khan, the Tellarites and the Andorians didn't do it either. Earth fucked this one up, and they don't get to just tell the rest of the galaxy how to run because of it. Like, you have got a huge, like, galaxy spanning, and let's drill down here, like, group of people, and you're just going around going, because of one dude, none of you are allowed to do this.
They did say there were a bunch of those dudes, but regardless, because of one incident on one planet with one species.
Oh, well, that's the thing. It's like, it's the Khan problem. It's not like the fucking Carl problem, you know?
That's true. Well, Carl is the Guardian of Forever, so he's fine.
Yeah, hey there, I'm Carl.
Look, that's canon. That's not some dumb make-em-up. That's canon. His name is Carl now.
Yep. I genetically altered myself so that I could better stand next to a pool.
Don't touch my car.
My Carl. Anyway, yeah, so I guess my bad thing this week is prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
Prejudice is also a word that it turns out I cannot for the life of me spell. And you know what? That's also my bad thing.
Prejudice I can spell. Privilege. Like, I need to spell check my privilege on a regular basis.
Here's the thing. I am actually really good at spelling. If I see a word, I know it's wrong.
Yes.
But, like, there are certain words I cannot for the life of me figure out.
Mm-hmm. It did not occur to me, like I said, my interpretation was you're changing, like you're cheating, kind of. You're changing, but you're right. This is a human problem, and
yeah,
something we talked about when we did Endeavor a lot, and something we've talked about over the course of this show is how human-centric the Federation is, and how they apply human cultural norms and biases and all that shit to everyone, and. I think this is another case of that. You're right. Because the Illyrians.
Absolutely.
If they join the Federation, then surely, and maybe they're not in the Federation. Maybe I misunderstood. But regardless, they are a known thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's odd to me that the Federation is just like, no, nobody's allowed to do this. But also, how did Una. How do you join the military and. Did she just lie and say she was human? Like, how does that get past?
I guess.
She goes through the transporter, which this episode spends a lot of time telling us has filters that goes way down to your molecular, biology. So, like, surely they know what species she is because there's machines scanning her DNA every day.
Yeah. I made some genetic manipulations so that that wouldn't work anymore. Oh. Can you do that? Apparently.
They are real vague about, like, she's genetically altered, but like they don't, it doesn't, it's not real clear what that makes her able to do.
It definitely makes her able to fucking tote someone else across the ship, which I was just like, Jesus.
I was about to say, I hope that doesn't awaken something in me, but that was awake a long time ago.
Yeah, that was already up and about and making breakfast, like.
But beautiful Amazon Rebecca Romijn just slinging Connie over her shoulder.
Yep.
Oh. I'm with you there.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and she actually she does sell the idea of them doing genetic manipulation in a way that I found really cool. She said, when you guys explore, you terraform planets. We don't do that. Mm-hmm. We change ourselves to adapt to the planets.
Yes.
Which, that's cool.
That is cool as shit, man. Come on.
Like, and think about that in terms of environmentalism. You're not wrecking the indigenous like conditions, you're changing yourself to adapt so that you don't harm anything. That's better.
That is better. I love that.
Yeah, no, it's super cool. And I think if we got more into her culture, maybe I would I would feel a little differently. But I don't know. You're kind of winning me over with all this, though.
Yes,
it happens. There,
I was looking into this because I was like, were Illyrians from the original series? I don't remember. So I looked it up, and they show up in Enterprise for a couple of episodes, which we shouldn't hold against them.
I'm not even going to diss Enterprise at this moment. Was it in the Augment episodes?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I just looked it up to see sort of what they look like. And okay. I'm gonna be honest with you. When I saw that they were on Enterprise, I completely lost interest in any of the research I was doing.
Well, you know, we talked about this with Disco. When you set yourself this early in the timeline, the only previous series you can really draw on is Enterprise. And if they build on stuff that Enterprise set up and make it better, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But basically, they show like a couple of Illyrians, and they've got like they don't look like number one.
Mm-hmm.
They've got like, you know, hands and facial differences and stuff, which again is just like, you know, genetically altering yourself for whatever your environment you're going to.
Yeah, exactly. The ones on the planet that Pike and Spock were stuck on.
I've been doing that so much.
Yeah, well, Kirk and Spock. That's just.
Yeah, Kirk and Spock.
Like, it's like saying Beavis and Laurel. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah.
No. It's weird. But
hey, Laurel.
Yeah. That's another fine mess you got us into. But the planet, they have these, like, they look like ghosts. They look like fire. You called them lightning ghosts. I thought of them more as fire ghosts. But either way, like,
yeah, I can see that.
Floating sort of light based. And that was another genetic adaptation.
Mm-hmm. Well, And I really wanted to bring this up too, because the Spock figures out that, like, what happened was they were trying to remove their augments so that they could join the Federation. Like, these people were fine. The Federation won't allow us in if we're genetically altered. We'll degenetically alter ourselves, and it fucked up and turned them into fire lightning ghosts. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, that's so sad. These poor people who just wanted to be able to join this cool thing that, like, you know. It's just not interested in them because, like, of what their culture does.
Now,
like, that sucks. Fuck you, the Federation.
On the other hand, I can see a Federation argument for this, like, not having human crews intermingling with Illyrians, because exactly what happens in this episode. Like,
that is true.
If their genetic modifications can somehow catch, like, an airborne disease, and everyone turns into moths that want to blow up their ship... Then maybe
we'll blow up the ship.
Maybe we don't want this. Like, I
mean,
there's a compelling argument there.
That feels like a problem to overcome rather than like, nope, no forever.
You're right. Oh, okay. So when they showed up in Enterprise, you will remember this, because this was our point of no return with that show. The Illyrians were the ones that Archer stole their warp drive and left them for dead.
Yes.
So,
okay, so you know what? Now we owe the Illyrians.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if they end up killing a couple of Starfleet people, well, you know what?
Yeah, you know what? Seems fair.
They got it coming. There's a grudge at this point.
Ugh.
Yeah. No, so, okay, you've kind of made me think about this a different way. I thought of it in terms of, you know, like, they're, it's like with the Bashir episode. They said, It gave him an unfair advantage. It allowed him to excel and all this stuff.
See, and that is not his culture, and that is, I mean, in this case, his parents, like, that I see more as, like, taking steroids for, it's not exactly this, but taking steroids for professional sports, you know?
Right. But also, as they framed it in the episode, he didn't do it, his parents did. Mm. I will say, without spoiling anything, like, this comes up again, so we're going to deal with this more later on in the series.
No, that's, if I remember, like, that's an episode I really like.
Yeah, I think that's one, well, in light of this, maybe I like it now. I didn't at the
time. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. My good thing, we get to know Hemmer better in this episode, and he is great.
Like, yeah, I love him.
I've mentioned this for years, like, I used to work in flight test, like, in aviation, when I was a defense contractor. And so I knew a lot of engineers. And Star Trek engineers aren't often like actual engineers in my experience, but he is, because he's got this cocky, self-assured, like, of course I can do it. And then he'll stop and think, well, maybe I can do it. Like, and he sells it so well. It doesn't feel like comedic. It feels like, no, that's his personality. But also, shit, maybe I spoke too soon. Maybe I can't quite do that.
Well, I like the so Una comes down to be like, okay, so let's talk this through. Like, how did this thing get through the thing? Did this happen? No. Did this happen? No.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I like that he has a moment where he's, at least this is how I read it, where he's like, okay, there are a lot of people on this ship that I can be a short asshole to, but this is probably not one of them, actually.
No.
And I should probably
reel it
in a little bit.
Probably the top two guys. Probably not number one, and probably not Pike, but everybody else.
Yeah, that's kind of it. But
I'm a department head. Everyone else is my equal or my inferior, so I can get away with it. But yeah, no. And there's the moment where she's pressing him and he's like, I guess I'll be running diagnostics all night. Like, I was going to go home, but I guess I'm doing this now.
Mm hmm.
Which I love. Like, I pointed this out last episode. Like, I love a crab going all the way back to Leonard McCoy.
Yeah.
Like, I love just a cranky ass. Like, he's obviously got a good heart. I don't want a pure asshole. Like
no.
that's Archer. What I want is someone who's crabby on the surface, and then you scrape just a little bit, and it's like, no, he really cares about his job and all the people around him. He's just maybe not good with people, or doesn't have time for it, or, you know, I get it.
Well, and we saw that last episode with him and Uhura, where, like, he has that moment, and then he turns to Spock and goes, I like her, and I believe him, you know?
That's because he was testing her.
Yeah.
Because he was doing the hazing thing, and she pushed back, and he's like, oh, this one's, she's not weak.
Like, oh, I never get this from cadets. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like that's his personality with everybody. Like, just
yeah,
test them. And if you see something you respect, like, okay, well, that's good. And if you don't, right, well, then you kind of write them off. But
yeah.
And slight spoiler, he and Mbenga will become very good friends later in season. And I was hoping this was the episode where that happened, but it wasn't. He basically came down to sick bay and said, why the fuck am I not getting any power? Why is all the power going to your medical transporter?
Mm-hmm. Benga's like, don't worry about it.
It's fine. It's all fine. It's having a normal one. It's mm-hmm. cool. Mm-hmm.
I love him leaving just like, fine, I guess I won't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
All right.
They kept talking about how everyone had reduced levels of vitamin D and like, yeah, mm-hmm. me too. But that's also because we're right at the winter solstice and there's no fucking sun right now.
Yeah, it's the worst, awfulest time of the year.
Well, as we record this, two more days and then the days start getting longer again. So like,
thank God.
We're almost there.
Almost made it. Almost made it.
Pendulum's right at the middle.
Ugh.
Yep. What else? We got some more terrible shit from Khan Jr. So just the absolute, like, you know what they called me as a child? Augment. Mm.
Oh, Muffin. No.
Yeah. Well, maybe, here's the thought. Maybe your family could have changed your name?
Yeah, that was the thought, you know? I know for a fact that the Hitlers all change their names. Like, you have options.
Yeah. Like, okay, I'm still confused about how well known Khan is when we get to originals, when we get to Space Seed and everyone's like, Khan Noonien and Singh, never heard of him. Like, what, which, but whatever. Again, I need to put that shit aside, and I'm going to be saying this a lot, I'm sure, but like, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't really line up for me, and I need to remember it doesn't really matter. But, okay, Una recognizes the name and says, of course, because of your ancestor. And yeah, again, just change your name.
Yeah.
Like, everyone on the ship obviously has a secret. Like, Una's an Illyrian. Mbenga's got his daughter. Pike knows about his own death. Like, Spock's got all kinds of shit. Like, and his secret sister that he can't talk about who went to the future, among other things. Everybody's got something. You could just change your name.
Ortega's just strutting around the ship. I'm walking on sunshine.
Yep. Oh, God. That's so great. She did have one of the rare dips into contemporary slang, which I didn't like, which... When the weird dude is clawing at the light bulb or whatever, she's like, whatever tweaks your freak. Like, no, come on, don't say that.
That was fine. That felt in character for her, for me.
It did, not for me. I saw you had a problem with Uhura saying y'all.
I thought about this, and then I was just like, eh.
I was ready to debate this with you, because... English needs a collective, a word for you collective, and we don't have it. Y'all works for that. And who better than a linguist to say, yeah, there's no word for this. You have to say y'all. It sounds sort of yokelish, but it's the best word for the job.
So here's the thing. So I heard that and I'm like, well, that doesn't make, like, she's from Africa. Like,
it's so what?
But I looked it up. I'm like, do other cultures use y'all? It's like, yeah, actually, a lot of them do, including South Africa. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, lots of languages.
That shuts my ass up.
Lots of languages just have a word for you all. Like, English doesn't have that, which is why y'all is there. And also, I don't want to misspeak, but like, it definitely sort of codes her as a black woman. Like, that's a... Like, not in a bad way at all. Like, not in a, this show's being a little racist way. Just in a, no, that's probably how she'd talk.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Let's see what else. I was really bored with all the Pike and Spock running away from ghosts.
I mean, they don't do a whole lot.
No. And as you point out, they stay back to read the library, which, is very tempting. And but their library is a series of... those plastic tubes that you put in a pneumatic system at the bank.
Yep. Funk.
Yep. And he just pulls out a piece of paper and is like, you have deposited your paycheck.
There, it shows Spock actually reading them, and there's a thing on one end that you twist, and I assume it's like, it sort of like rotates the text and that he's reading.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's like a scroll.
That's actually really cool. Yeah. He's scrolling up cinemas, Al.
Oh, God. I suppose he is. There's some of the props on the show so far have been a little not futury enough for my taste. This is a minor nitpick. This isn't like the language really bugs me. This is just the like I took a I hit pause to do a screen cap for the previous episode in Pike's quarters when they're doing the dinner at the captain's table. And I saw these Tupperware containers full of cereal that just looked like they could come out of anybody's kitchen. And I didn't notice them when I watched. You probably did because you noticed background shit. But like, but it was like, oh, you guys can't come on. Think about all the dumb cups and painted salt shakers and just like the just, come on. It's not difficult to buy something that looks a bit futury and paint it. Like
And on Pike likes cornflakes.
On the Illyria planet, it was the same thing. It was like there were a bunch of flasks and like it just looked like a high school chemistry lab. And it's like,
yeah,
you guys could just, I don't know, make them pointy or put put a fin on it or something. I don't know.
Guys, this is the series that invented Worf's weird chair. Like fucking you can find this shit and you can do it.
I don't remember Worf's weird chair.
His weird chair that he had in his quarters that was made up of like balls and stuff.
I have a faint memory of that, but again, you notice those background details so much more than I do.
He sits in it like one time and you look at it and you're just like, oh yeah, that's not made for anyone to sit in, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, only a warrior must be uncomfortable. Really?
Uh-huh,
and Martok comes in and is like, where did you hear that? What a bunch of crap.
Stop it.
Mm-hmm. Stop telling people that's what we're like. We're not like that.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
What else? One of the things I really like about the modern Trek, Spock gets like a little cut on his neck, and the green blood looks really cool.
Yeah, it does. I'm a sucker for that every time.
Yep.
Like, oh, always, yeah, always, always. Green. His blood is green. Yay.
Yep.
I think, did they do that in the original series? I can't remember.
They said it, but they never, they never showed it, you know?
Maybe that was just because you can't show blood on TV, period.
That was sort of what I thought, yeah.
Yeah. What else?
Let's see. Again, I'm going to memory alpha the story that Benga's reading to his daughter at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently written by Benny Russell. I didn't know that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense, but that's great.
Nope, but there it is.
Benny Russell is a guy that Sisko imagined.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't care. That's fantastic. And
yeah,
it can't be a coincidence that like a black father's reading that to his daughter. Like, because
oh yeah,
just the connection there because that episode was so about race. Like, that's that. I don't know. I like that a lot.
No, he's talking about like, I think it's about like King Ridley or something. And I'm like, is that like an actual story for, from like literature or something? I should look that up. And I did. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's written by Benny Russell. And I think we get into it more an episode.
Oh, very much so. Now. Very much so. I don't know if you remember that one, but yeah.
I do. I remember it vaguely, but I don't remember a whole lot of specifics.
We get to meet his transporter stored daughter for a couple minutes just to see, because I said from minute one he's got strong dad energy, but watching him actually be a dad for a minute was fantastic. Like, he's everybody's dad kinda, but watching him specifically like dealing with his daughter was great. And he's so like, he's got that same thing I talked about a couple weeks ago with Pike, where it's like he's so traditionally sort of masculine and butch, but also tender and kind at the same time.
Yeah.
And like, we need more characters like that.
Mm-hmm. All I could think about was like, hang on, wait a second. So he brings her out of the transporter buffer for story time.
Mm-hmm.
And also from her dialogue, she says that she's heard this story before. So
yes.
from how it's going to her, she is constantly being brought out of transporter buffer to have the same story read to her over and over again.
Yes.
I would go crazy instantly.
That is exactly my thought too, because I think he even says to Una, time doesn't pass for her in there.
Yeah.
And like, okay, then it's all instantaneous. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all, as soon as she goes in, she comes right back out and it's much, much later, but yeah.
Maybe you could find some new things for her to do.
Yeah, could be. Just mix it up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I kind of hope we get into, like, dig into how, like, how selfish this is for him.
Oh, we will.
Good.
There's
that I don't remember at all.
Yeah. There's a whole, like, we're going to deal with this quite a bit, which is why I was so surprised it came up in the last chunk of this episode, because it felt like this episode, for better or worse, what it was about was what it was about. But then it took a left turn and, like, is this episodic or is it serial? And they're kind of having it both ways, and not even necessarily in a bad way. It just, it wasn't exactly what I expected as all.
Sure. Well, Al, it's the cereal on Pike's shelf.
That's true. Well, at least it's in little Tupperwares. Tupperware brand Tupperware that they bought with the no money they have. Because the Mothman.
It really is just, what can we get from IKEA?
Yeah, which is fine, but paint it.
Yeah.
Paint it or glue two, like, things together or turn it upside down or something.
Number one's got like one of those light up, like one of those light ball things.
Yeah.
Which still feels like a miracle to me when I see one. But we own one and I'm like, I know exactly where you got that from.
Well, you called it a light globe because Queepy Pants all the time get some.
Yeah, you know, flum a lamp.
Some ants toot.
Teehee.
Because I always love pointing out the uniform stuff, I don't notice a lot of background stuff, but man, I love the flight jackets that they wear on away missions.
Oh, they're so cool.
They look very similar to sort of modern military flight jackets, but just different enough, and they match the Starfleet uniforms, so like they're tailored to, you know, this specific look, and it's fantastic.
I am such a sucker for any type of Starfleet thing they wear for an away mission.
Mm-hmm.
Except, of course, the fucking armor they wore on Disco, the fucking flak jackets they wore on Disco. Fuck that shit.
It looked too much like cops. Like, I get it from a practical standpoint, but design-wise, yeah, it reminded me too much of cops, and I don't want to think about cops right now.
No.
I want to think about how hot Anson Mount is in his flak jacket, which, you know, there he is.
And no cops in the future.
Yep.
Or at Pride.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, this ship... it's not Disco, but this ship has, as we will find out later, some gay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good at least.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
I think that's everything I got.
Very well. Well, then I suppose that's all for this time. Next time, we're doing Memento Mori, and I have absolutely no idea what that is.
Yeah.
Not a single clue. Oh, do you have a quote?
Oh, I do have a quote. Let's play that. Right now.
What is it? Tell me first.
It is Spock and Pike on the planet.
Does that thing have a setting for stun?
I am arming us with knowledge.
Yep. Always like a good... I always like Spock. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I like a Spock quip.
What a great guy.
Yep.
He'll go
big
far
fan
in this fleet. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, as ever, website, postatomichorror.com. You want to write to us, postatomichorror@gmail.com. The Patreon is patreon.com/Algar. And that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2025. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.